Tonight's message, if you are a lover of Jesus, a lover of the Father, then this message will excite you. Amen? If he doesn't mean very much to you and he's just kind of something on the side, you know, then this message might not land with you as well. But I believe we have people that love him in here. And Father, we're just so grateful, so honored to be here. So thankful for all you're doing. Father, we just glorify your holy name. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness and for your love. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've provided for us. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. And Lord, as we get ready to approach your Word, we thank you for utterance. We thank you for boldness. Father, we thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, we'll be changed tonight. And we'll walk out of here different. And Father, I thank you for the anointing, for revelation, for impartation. Thank you. We go to a new level here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, John 15 and verse 7 says, "If you abide in me, you shall ask," well, let's finish the, we better finish that, "and my words," because that's what's important there. Say, how do I abide in him? "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you." Hallelujah. That verse there, I mentioned this. This is, if you heard my service on Wednesday, I'm building upon what we preached Wednesday, and I'm going to do the same tomorrow morning because it's the direction that the Lord's taken us. He's looking for real deal people, praise God. Messages like this make you real deal. And the Bible says here that if you'll abide in him and his words abide in you, that means if you welcome his words, amen, that means to obey him. Yeah. That's what it means, you know. And he said there's a blessing for it because, you know, obeying him and abiding in him. Abiding in him means to abide in his plan, to abide in what he wants. Amen. And it can seem scary at times and it can seem like a daunting thing. But he promises you that there's a blessing. And I mentioned this Wednesday night that God takes the scary out of obeying him. There's times now it does my children good to obey me because it keeps them in good graces with their dad. You know, they don't get punished or any consequences, but when they listen. But there's times that I just require them to do something without telling them, without promising them a blessing, without promising them, you know, anything good to come their way. Just do it, you know, and they're expected to just do it. Amen. But you see in the Word over and over that God always, in Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you'll obey me, all these blessings will come. Amen? And you see all throughout Isaiah 1:19, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll get the good of the land. We see Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 say, if you'll do the word, you'll be like a person, a wise man, and when the storms come, it won't crumble. Amen? Your life won't crumble. And what's wonderful about it is God takes the scary. Is that what was crying back there? That's what I heard. I thought I heard something. I thought, man, I'm losing my mind. Oh, man, I'm losing my mind up here. But anyways, God takes the scary out of it. He says, if my words abide in you, which means do what I say, he says, you can come to me and ask me what you will, and I'll do it for you, praise God. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So there's good stuff in it for you, praise God. But now I want you to remember, don't forget that, because that's pretty good to ask what you will and it'll be done for you. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's getting your prayers answered. Hallelujah. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2 and verse 19, and we're going to build upon things we talked about Wednesday night if you heard it. Philippians 2 and verse 19, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Now look at verse 20 says, "For I have no man like-minded." What kind of mind are you talking about, Paul? "Who will naturally care for your state." He says, I can't find one person to send to you that will care for you, the church. You know, God's things. Now, what's the reason for that? Well, verse 20 tells us. Go ahead and go to verse 20. Oh, wait, we're not even in the right place here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2, 19. There we go. Go all the way down to verse 20, which is one, I guess, one away, not all the way down, but go to verse 20. He says, I have no man like man who will care for your state. Now go to verse 21. He says, for all. Everybody say all. This is sad. He says, everybody I know. He says, I can't find one person to care for your state. Why is that? He says, for all are seeking or pursuing their own. And not the things that are Jesus Christ. Now, before you get all excited and start out amening me, you might want to hold your horses. Amen. Paul said this. This is what it said in the Amplified. I'm just going to read a few different translations. In the Amplified, he said, for all the others seek to advance their own interests, not those of Jesus the Messiah. The Message Bible says most people around here are looking out for themselves with little concern for the things of Jesus. And let me say, now I'm not talking just in this location, I'm talking the body of Christ. Let me say amen to that. It's the truth. It's going on just as much, if not more, in 2020 than it was back then. Now, this is what I've observed as a full-time pastor for 10 years. What Paul experienced back then is still happening in the church today. Most people are seeking their own interests, their own pursuits, their own plans, their own purposes, and don't give a rip about His plans. Yeah, His purposes, His pursuits. It's true. It's true. This is what else I've observed. Now don't, this is going to land kind of hard here. Hope it doesn't go over like a lead balloon. People are sold out in the church. Oh, they're sold out. People are sold out. But you know what they're sold out to? What can I get from Him? Yeah. What does this gospel bring me? Oh, yeah, we're sold out to the healing, to the prosperity. Those are real things. And we're sold out to the peace and the protection and the favor and the answers and the doors opening and all the blessings that come our way from being His child. Yeah. People are certainly sold out to that. But you know what they're not sold out to? Not the part of the gospel, because prosperity, healing, peace, protection, that's part of the gospel. But you know what else a part of the gospel is? It's just as much Jesus' words and part of the gospel as that prosperity and healing message. What can I give for the gospel? It's just as much in there as the other stuff. And most people are pro, what can I get? But don't talk to me about what it's going to cost me and what's required of me and what I need to do in my own life. And Paul's saying that Jesus has a plan, but I can't get anybody to fulfill Jesus' plan. Why? Because everybody's out looking for themselves. To advance their own kingdom. Their own purposes. Amen. Again, what did I say before the service? Those that love Him are going to love this service. Those that are a little wishy-washy, one in, one out, I might get some looks. That's okay. I can take the looks. Praise God. I can take it. Hallelujah. We treat Him like a vending machine. Oh, it is. We're not sold out to Him. We're not consecrated to Him. We have not laid down our lives. All these things which we're going to look at tonight in the Word. But yet when symptoms show up at our front door, oh, Lord, I need my healing. When something goes wrong in your finances, oh, Lord, then it's like, okay, what can I get? And we become so robotic and transactional with Him instead of relational with Him. See, we want what He has to offer, but He's asking for things out of us too. Oh, you wait and see what I'm going to uncover tonight and show you in the Word. We want that part of Him towards us, but He's looking, what about the other half, the other side of this equation. Amen. And Paul was saying, and I'm telling you as a pastor, I see it. I see it all the time. People are so selfish. People are so concerned with theirs and their own, and the things of Jesus are, if I can get to them, if it doesn't inconvenience me, if it fits into my schedule, if it's with my way of life, and it's garbage. It's so backwards. It's so backwards. It's so against what our Savior, the one we worship and believe died for our sins, is asking of us and requiring of us. Don't take my word for it. We'll look at the Bible. I want to look at the Bible and show you some things. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. I'm going to read it in the King James, then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. If one thing we got to be careful of in this word of faith message that we've learned, because we have learned to acquire. We know how to get healed. Thank God for it. He wants us to know how to get healed. Elaine said it herself, the word of faith message and learning the Bible, it was the catalyst. Thank God for healing. We know how to get our money because God promised us to meet our needs. We know how to do it. We know how to change situations. And see, if we're not careful, that's what everything will be about. Just this cash grab, this what can I get from him all the time. But there's another side to this gospel. Amen. Coming from the same source who said, I'll bless you. But I'm also asking some things of you. Amen. Amen. It's a truth. And it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Now what's created in Christ Jesus mean? When you were born again. You were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everybody say works. Works. Yeah, works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now here we go again, where God's telling us, you're recreated in me, which came with so many blessings that you don't want to forfeit, but you were recreated in me not to just receive, receive, receive. You were created to do, do, do. Amen, it's true. But God here, in His goodness and His mercy, again tells us, you were recreated in me, I got things for you to do, but there's a blessing for you in doing so. In the Amplified, it says, we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared. Everybody say, paths which He prepared. Say it. Paths which He prepared. He's got paths that He prepared for you. Doesn't Jeremiah 29:11 say, for I know the thoughts or the plans that I have for you. He's saying, I've got plans. Amen. I got the plans. He's the architect. But there's so many people in the body of Christ. Back then, Paul said, all. They're out planning their own life. Because he said, I can't get them to do Jesus' things. And he said, wait a minute, they're recreated to do good works for Him. But they're out doing their own thing, their own architects. He says, God predestined plan before taking the paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Not everybody will, but we should. And look at the result of it. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. There He is again, promising, blessing us. Go on my path. Go my way. Do my thing. It'll only lead a good life for you. Amen. Praise God. So the Bible tells us that God, and we know Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans or the thoughts that I have for you, declares the Lord. What did God say to Jeremiah? I ordained you a prophet before. I had a plan for you, Jeremiah. He's already predestined and made a plan for your life. Whether you're on it or not, I don't know. But He has, and it's where the good life is. It's what He wants. Now, He said He's made us ready for good works. Now think about this for a second. Let me pull up a scripture and then I'll go off of that. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians, now this is one of these messages going to get right up in the uncomfortable places. But we need that. Because it's not just a gospel of gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's, like Brother Hagin said, my name's Jimmy. I'll take all you can gimme. And that's the way people approach Him. Just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Because we get so excited in the word of faith that wow, we've learned how to accumulate, we've learned how to change some things, how to receive some things. And man, if that's what it only becomes about. And let me just say something here before I go forward. You know what the word of faith was meant for? You know why God gave you the word of faith to get healed? For Him. You know why He gave you the word of faith to be blessed financially? For His plan. His purpose. It's not some fake prayer when I'm up here praying, Lord, bless us so we can be a blessing. That's my heart. Pastor Mike, would you like to be filthy rich? Yes, so I could be a filthy blesser. You're darn right I would. Amen. That's my heart. I don't know what anybody else's heart is, but I can tell you, I just want to give, 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 fund, fund, fund. But so many people don't recognize that. They think it's just for their accumulation. It's not for your accumulation. It's for the kingdom. Yeah, it's for the kingdom. And that's where it gets backwards and off, and people run the message the wrong way. And, you know, a lot of times preachers will use it to line their pockets and just, you know, preach some fluff message to make people feel good. No. The word of faith, prosperity, healing, all those good things were so we could live blessed, be a light to the world, and go forth and do what God has for us. Why? Now you are the body of Christ. And members in particular. What's he saying? He's saying Jesus was physically here as the body of Christ. And what did he do? He advanced God's kingdom. He was a blessing to mankind. He helped the hurting. He helped the poor. He helped the sick. He helped the oppressed. He delivered mankind. But now he's not here anymore. But the body of Christ still is. In fact, we're in a better position than he was in. You say, Pastor Mike, whoa, be careful what you're saying. No, I'm not saying anything Jesus didn't say. Jesus said, it is advantageous to you that I leave. That's what he said. And he said, the works that I do, what was his next word? Greater. That's what he said. He said, greater will you do. Well, why will we do it greater? Well, one reason we'll do it in greater is because we can do it in greater number than he ever could. He was in one centralized location. We don't have to be. We're in Allegheny, we're in South Dayton, we're in Fredonia, we're in Wellsville, we're in wherever we go, that's where we are. We take him with us. We're the body of Christ. Well, what's the body of Christ supposed to do on the earth now? The same thing the physical, real body of Christ did when he was on the earth, which is what? Advance the kingdom, bless mankind, reach the lost, reach the hurting, reach the poor, reach the sick. That's the works he's talking about. We are the body. If we don't do what he did, nothing will get done. You want to know why? God's not coming down from the throne. And neither is Jesus until it's time to take us all away. He is so reliant on his body doing his work. What am I talking about? People not seeking their own interests. Their own stuff. Their own pursuits. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Just think to yourself. And maybe now you don't even know for sure. And we'll make it clear by the end of the night if you're right or not. Are you on your own plan? Are you on your own purposes? Now be careful before you say no. Because we're gonna dig tonight. You see, you don't find fleas in a dog all the time just by looking on the surface. Sometimes you gotta dig and get in there and find the yucky stuff. Amen. Yeah. We'll see tonight. Because if I didn't have Bible to back all this up, you'd think, man, you are a radical guy. No, Jesus was a radical guy. He was radical. He's very radical. He's very radical. In fact, you know, you look at the Bible and what did it say in the book of Revelation? I think it was the Laodicean church. It said, you're lukewarm. It said, I'd rather have you be cold or hot. But since you're lukewarm, I don't like that. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. I had a youth group message one time called, Don't Be a Puke. That's what it was called. Don't be a puke. Lukewarm. And before people start saying, I'm all in with it. Okay, but let's qualify it with the word before you say that. You know what a humble way to approach things is the way Paul did. Remember when Paul said, he said, it's a small thing if you judge me. I went and we looked it up on Wednesday night. You can go back and listen to that, but I don't want to take time to turn there. Paul said, it's a very small thing. He's talking to the Corinthian church that you would judge me. He said, I don't care if you judge me. Big doesn't matter to me.
And then he went on to say, I look at my life and I don't know anything wrong with it. He says, as far as I can tell, I look at myself, I judge myself, and I can't find anything wrong. He says, but that doesn't even matter. That's what he said. He said, the only thing that matters is what he thinks. So see, you might even be sitting there thinking, oh, I'm all in, Pastor Micah. You're just preaching to the choir here tonight. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if you think you're all in. It doesn't matter. And a humble person is like Paul. Paul was hitting it out of the park more than anybody was hitting it out of the park. And he even said, as far as I know, I'm not missing it, but it doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what he thinks. And it would be wise to sit out there and say, okay, I think I'm all in, but if I'm not, let's find out. And let's make adjustments, praise God. That's what he said. And I want to show you here what Jesus said about this, not what Pastor Mike thinks. Now remember, this is the same Savior that told you in Mark 11:23, you can have what you say. And man, we eat those verses up. In verse 24, you can have what you pray. Man, we love when Jesus says that kind of stuff. Amen, and peace I leave with you. And we love all those things that Jesus says, but Jesus said a lot of things. And I happen to like everything that he said. Amen, it's true. Praise God. Well, let's find out what Jesus said. Go to Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. Now remember, I didn't make this up. This is what he said. It's not so popular in the church world because what it does is it puts you in the crosshairs. It's good to go to a church that puts you in the crosshairs. You know what the churches that put you in the crosshairs do? They stay safe from dirty things and wrong things. Because people that are behind the scenes plotting and doing wrong things and are after the young girls and after all the... they can't sit under the conviction too long and the word will chase them out. And the people that are hungry for God will stay. But the places that don't preach the truth, it's a breeding ground for sin. I'm telling you, it's a breeding ground for things to take place inside the walls of a church. That when people are unafraid to preach conviction and preach the truth, it allows sin to go run rampant. Well, that's not what kind of church we're going to have. Amen. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man wills to come after me or will come after me. Oh, this is real popular here in 2020. Let him deny himself. What? I thought it was, what can I get? What can I accumulate? What can I receive from this gospel? No. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, there's going to have to be some self-denial. Amen. Take up his cross. That's dying to yourself, by the way. How often? Daily. And follow me. Well, either he was just had a rough day and didn't mean this, or he meant exactly what he said. Amen. I want to read this to you. In the Amplified Bible, if you could pull that up, that'd be great, or I can get it on here. Hallelujah. I'll look until I see it change up there that way. Okay, praise God. He said to them all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself. Disown himself. Forget. Lose sight of himself and his own interests. What? Refuse and give up himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, I believe it says. Hallelujah. That's not popular. Deny yourself? Lose sight of your own interests? Yep. Oh yeah. If your stuff interferes with his stuff, bye-bye your stuff. That's what he's saying. Oh, but that's not, it's quiet in here. But that's not how we live as Christians. No, we don't. Because God will put stuff out there, different things through different avenues, and it will be that's just not convenient. That doesn't fit into my lifestyle. I just don't feel like that. That's not my personality. That's not what I want to do. Yeah, it's real quiet in here. I know it's hard to say something when you got a mouthful. I get it, praise God.
Listen, I want people to be brought up to a level with him of reality. Jesus Christ is real. The Savior saved us and is asking things of us. Amen. Now, go with me to Luke 6:46. How many of you call Jesus not only Savior but Lord? I mean, we call him Lord Jesus, don't we? Worship you, Lord Jesus. He's the Lord. He's our Lord and Savior. But look at what Jesus' take is. You can go back to the King James, please. Look what Jesus' take is on it. This Lord business. It says, why do you call me Lord? Lord. And don't do what I say. That's what he's saying. He said, why are you calling me that? I'm not your Lord if you don't do what I say. Now, what our minds run to is things like Ten Commandments, big picture stuff. I'm not murdering. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not blaspheming. I'm not saying the Lord's name in vain. I'm these big things. I'm not a thief. Oh, is that the only thing he says? No, it's not. What about when he's... What about when pastor says the church needs something? And the word nursery comes out of my mouth. Ooh, it's going to get really quiet now. And you don't even consider asking him what he thinks you should do. You hear the word nursery, and instantly people have come to me before and said, I don't like little kids. I'm not doing nursery. What does he think about it? Yeah. You hear you get pressed upon you. How many of you know that you don't even need a word from heaven to go talk to people about Jesus? You already have one in the Bible. Amen. That's supposed to be going around in the schools right now, because we had a girl in South Dayton had one of those last time. Man, oh man, I'd talk about way to just ruin a kid's weekend. So sorry, Maria. We'll pray for you. Good Lord. Jeez. I'm glad I didn't take that class. I don't know what class it was, but man, oh man. It was so funny. The young girl in South Dayton, she learned to balance the bottle just right to get that thing to stop hollering at her, you know. She had it figured out. But he tells us in the Word, tell people about me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. When's the last time you told anybody about Jesus? When's the last time you led anybody to the Lord? I know this is stuff right up in the uncomfortable spots. Why do you call him Lord? You don't do what I'm telling you to do. Pastor Mike, please, lay off us, please. Amen. Do you mind having her go downstairs? Thank you so much. I'm sorry to be a pain in the butt. Hallelujah. That thing's loud. That was very mean of that school to do that to her. Anyways. Church, I show you in the Word, greatest among you is a servant. We see in the Bible, the ministry of helps. I can say it till I'm blue in the face, and people just, it hits people certainly, that it's not for me. Oh, really? What's he think about it? Yeah, or did you just, it didn't fit in with your life and your schedule? Yeah. What about financially? He tells you to do something with your money. Why do you call him Lord? Stop calling him Lord. I didn't say it, he did. Why are you calling me that? You don't do anything I tell you to do. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm just saying we're checking up on ourselves here tonight. This is what the Master said. He wants to know, why are you calling me that? You don't do anything I tell you. I told you to tithe. I told you to serve. I told you to love your neighbor. I told you to forgive. I told you to be kind. I told you to walk in love. I told you to tell people about me. Are we doing these things? I don't know. I hope so. Go to John 14 and verse 15. Praise God. This will build reality in us. Praise God. It's easy to sit here when Pastor Mike's talking about speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Oh, we can change our world? Yeah, praise. Amen, Pastor Mike. John 14 and verse 15.
How many of you would say, I love Jesus? Well, let's find out if he thinks you love him. Because we'd all say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If you love me, do what I say. That's what he said. Over and over, Jesus said things like this. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, I love you, Lord. Yeah, but I've been telling you to invite that person to church. I've been telling you to lay that down. I've been telling you that with your money. The church has needed help. All these things. I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you? See, his gauge of if you love him or not has nothing to do with your goosebumps. Has nothing to do with your goosebumps and your tears. He's a prove it type of God. Didn't he prove how he loved you? He sure did. He demonstrated it by giving you Jesus. He says, prove it to me that you love me. Obey what I say. I mean, am I making this up? Or did Jesus say this stuff? Because I'm getting a lot of blank looks out there like I'm nuts. He's the nutso. I'm just the one repeating what he said. It's not me. Look at him that way, not me. Are we obeying him? Are we following his plans and his purpose? Now, here we go. Before you again shout out, yeah, amen, I am. Let me ask you. What about things, the day-to-day things, not just the big things? What about things we do with parents? I'll hit this one. What about things we do with our children? And all the things we have them in and things we're doing with them. What does he say about it? What about things that absolutely keep our children from being under the water near the Word of God? Did we talk to him about it, or just the pressures of the world and because our kids want it? What does he say? Maybe he said it's okay. I'm just asking a serious question. What about guest minister meetings? I'm asking. When we just instantly, Pastor Mike, what about midweek services? When Pastor Mike, why does Pastor Mike have midweek service? Because he just up and decided to? No, by the leading of the Holy Ghost for this church. When you hear midweek service or guest minister services, and it just shoots in one ear out the other. Nope, that's not for me. But wait a minute. What does Jesus think about that? Did Jesus tell you that's not for you? Or did you not even care to even ask him? Because you don't want to know the answer to some things. Woo! Man, oh man. I told myself Wednesday night, I was preaching to myself. Come up higher, Mike. Come up higher. Come up higher. What about serving? Are we just not serving in an area that the church needs help because we don't want to? That's not our personality. That's not our cup of tea. I'm sure nails in his hands and feet, hanging there, sword jammed in his side, nails of crown of thorns on his head, was not his cup of tea. Just a guess. Just a guess. Yeah, but I'm so busy. If you're too busy to obey God, that's your problem. It's the truth. If you're too busy to obey God, that is your problem. If your life is such that I can't be faithful in church and I can't serve and I can't do what God's telling me to do outside church, that is your problem. He's not making exceptions for you in your life. But that's what we've done in America. We've filled our lives up with our own stuff and our own interests. And we haven't even considered, Jesus, what do you think about this? What do you think about how we're carrying on our lives? What are we? We're pursuing our own things. Yeah. Brother Hagin wrote the book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuit. He had a revelation, I believe it was back in 1987. Jesus visited him and talked to him about some things in the church. And he talked about how most people in the body of Christ, and that's what Paul said, are doing their own thing. Yeah. Completely doing their own thing. Right. Yeah, it's true. So sad. But Jesus was the example, wasn't he? What did he do? He humbled himself, became obedient to death on a cross. Yeah, did what he didn't want to do. Praise God. I use the example, we're taking up a special offering tomorrow in South Dayton. We got new flooring and new chairs. Well, everybody that's a part of a family ought to be doing something for the house. Serving, giving, I mean, that's just scriptural. You expect that in your natural home, I hope. Don't just let someone get just a free ride, never have to do anything, you know. That didn't fly in my home growing up. I tried it. Didn't fly too well. That's why I had such problems with my stepdad. I was just a lazy, mouthy, snotty little teenager. He was a hard-working guy, you know. And it's backwards when God's telling us things to do, has things for us to do, but because of our life, we doesn't fit into our life, doesn't fit into our schedules, doesn't fit into our what we want to do. Well, let me show you something real quick. People are pursuing their own plans, their own purposes, just living life, carrying on their own thing, and he's got a plan. Go to Psalms 127, verse 1. I just want to show you something real quick. Psalms 127, verse 1. See, this caused me to make some hard decisions in my life. Yeah, well, it was a hard decision for Jesus in the garden. He actually sweat drops of blood. He was so stressed about what the decision he had to make. Amen. You want to know why? He called you to deny yourself. Didn't he say that? To lose sight of your own self. That's not comfortable, people. We don't like denying ourselves. We're a society that likes to a gratifying culture, just instant gratification all the time. Look what Psalms 127, verse 1 says. Except the Lord build the house. What's that? What's the house? Your life? They labor in vain. Let me tell you what that word vain means. Emptiness. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Vanity, falsehood, nothingness, worthlessness. He didn't say things can't be built. How many of you know things can even be built and look successful in the natural? I know people. My heart breaks for them because I know the outcome. Brother Hagin said this. He said, I can tell you how every kid in the church is going to turn out. 12 years he pastored, he said, it never came wrong. He said, how? By what the things of God are valued or not. People build things all the time that are what the world would call successful. Wow, look how good your kid is at that instrument. Look how good they are at that sport. Look at how good, fill in the blank. And am I saying sports and stuff? No, my kids are in sports, but not to get in way of him. Ever. It'll never happen. Never happen. Because I know he's my answer. That baseball bat's not. That gymnastics mat's not the answer. Jesus is my answer. And people will naturally build careers and have money in the bank. And naturally, looks like they're killing it. You can build things and naturally be called a success. But the Bible tells you, now it's up to you if you want to look at the way God says it. The Bible says, if the Lord's not in what you're building, it's a big fat pile of worthlessness and nothingness. I don't care how much money you've acquired, how much skill you've acquired, how much gawking by the neighbors and how wonderful things look. If it's not God, it's pointless. And someday people will get to heaven and they'll build all this stuff. And the Lord said, that is not what I had for you. And you'll realize in that moment how pointless your pursuits were. I'm trying to save you from that, praise God. Boy, this is a fun Saturday night, isn't it? Thanks, Pastor Mike. Imagine all the people are going to feel tomorrow morning on 1 hour less of sleep. They're really going to come after me. But who's going to tell you this if I don't? The devil's not going to tell it to you. Preachers that are trying to fill their seats certainly aren't going to tell you this. But this is what our Savior wants. You would rather hear it from me than him, I'm telling you. I'm telling you what. Vain. Worthless. If God doesn't build it, it's pointless. Doesn't matter how good it looked and how natural, how comfortable you are, how much money you got in the bank, and how well you're liked, and the cars you drive, and the homes you have. If you got it by doing it not on his plan, it's a big fat pile of worthless. See, don't think because there's natural success, don't equate that with always with blessing. You can't just look at somebody and say, wow, look at all the money, they're super spiritual. No, you can't do that. I know people that are Christians that are in the churches, and they are loaded. And naturally, it looks like killing it. And then you start to dig between the hairs, and you start seeing some issues and things. Yeah, it's a big fat pile of nothing. I don't want that for people in my churches. Praise God. Now, I want to help you with this, because I want us to go forward with a different mindset, a mindset of, Lord, we're here for you, right? We worship you. If you love me, obey me, he said. Why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? I don't want him to look at me and say, Mike, why are you calling me that? You don't listen to me. You say you love me, but I've been telling you this. And man, it's about making adjustments, right? He's not looking at us, kicking us when we're down and putting his thumb on us and you terrible. No, he's trying to bring us up higher. Now I want to help you with this going forward, because remember, he always laces everything with a blessing. Go back to Luke 9:23. That's where this party got started and went the wrong way. Oh, that's where the happiness went flushed right down to it. Luke 9:23. Man, that's when Pastor Mike just was like shooting a goose right out of the sky. Man, that thing was going along and thud. Right on the ground. Luke 9:23. What's he say? If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Now look at what he says in verse 24. Whosoever will save his life is going to lose it. What's he mean? Those that are interested in getting what they can for themselves, you know the stupid sayings out there, YOLO, bucket list, you only live once, got to get everything you can, got to get everything I want out of this life. I got to just put have my drive be on my the things I want, the pursuits I want. I only live once. The world poisons us from the way of the Bible. He said, stop concerning yourself. And in fact, what's Matthew 6:33 tell you? The order. Seek first, seek first, seek first, seek first. So he's not telling you anything different here. He says, stop worrying about your life. If you keep worrying about your life, that's going to lead to loss. He said, but if you want gain, he says, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. Or get gain or increase. Amen, that's right. I have yet to give things up for him and not have it catapult me into increase and more. That's his truth. Amen. This is the last thing Mike Anderson wanted to do in life. To get up in front of people was such a fear of mine. I said, Lord, just let me be an usher and sit in the back row and help. Just let me just come clean church when no one's around. I'm serious. And I'm telling you right now, and I mean this with all my heart, it would have to come from him because the call burns in me. If the Lord told me to give my church to someone, become an usher in that church, become a cleaner in that church, become the parking lot attendant in that church, sir, yes, sir, and I mean that. He knows I mean it. Amen, because I showed him before I got to be a pastor, I'll do anything for you. Anything for him. But there was a lot of hard things. You think, I don't want to do nursery, I don't want to clean, I don't want to have to be an usher, I don't want to be in the sound booth. Your pastor was asked to stand outside in the cold and the snow, no matter what, for an hour before service in direct traffic, come in soaking wet, freezing cold at times, hot, no matter. Then I was asked to sit on the computer, things I can't stand, technology, and do the computer for that. And I did that for two services, two Sunday morning services, and I did it every single day. Not this once, we'll just get you on there once a month. No, 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 no. I did it every single service for I don't know how many years. Yeah. And I feel like at times I got to be like, okay, now you only are going to have to do nursery once every 4 weeks. The guy with the holes in his hands would have had the attitude of, you need me to do it? I'll do it every single service if you want me to. We don't have that attitude in the body of Christ. Our own interests. Out for ourselves. I'll clean, but just make sure it's just part of the building for just this many times every month. Or this maybe once a month I'll do it. Well, that's so backwards. It's so backwards. So backwards. Lose sight of yourself. I can't talk to that person. I told the story on Wednesday night. A gentleman down in Sheffield, Pennsylvania, that lived right next to Courtney's family, and they live in the Allegheny National Forest. And he's like a cartoon character. His name is Mr. Winker. And he's this tall, skinny, real skinny man, and he'd wear this cool-looking hat, and the clothes he always had on, he always had these like green pants on with these big muck boots and a flannel shirt and a vest, and he was like maybe 80 pounds dripping wet. He's in his 80s, whatever. And every time I'd stop and see him, he'd say, "Hey, Mike!" And he'd say, "How you doing?" And everything was just so animated all the time. And he would talk to me about my life, and every other word out of his mouth had to be bleeped out. And he was a wonderful man, but you knew he didn't know Jesus. And the Holy Ghost, for months in a row, told me, "Tell him about me. Tell him about me. Tell him about me." And you know what Pastor Mike did? Ah, that's not comfortable. What if Courtney's parents find out? And it sounds like I'm, you know, shaking the boat here on the road. And what if this guy doesn't want to receive it? And what if he doesn't want to hear it? And I never talked to him about it. And I went down there one day and said, "Where's Mr. Winker at? I didn't see him on the road. He's always walking his chocolate lab Hershey." He died. And the Holy Ghost let me know by word of knowledge that he's in hell. I don't wonder if the man's in hell. I know it's uncomfortable. He is in hell. And there's a chance that the reason he's in hell is because of your pastor. And it's the truth. Say, someone had to tell you about getting saved. What if nobody would have told you? And here's a chance he's going to be down there and say, "You never told me. What? You're up there. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? It was uncomfortable for me. You didn't want to do it." Well, I'll tell you what. Hell's way more uncomfortable for him now. Yeah, it's the truth. We think, "Oh, someone else will do it. Someone else will." No, you don't understand. If God's tapping you on the shoulder to do it, there's a reason. I might have been the only Jesus that man ever encountered. And I didn't tell him what I knew because I was uncomfortable. Please, never again. I mean, never again. I witness to people, Burger King drive-thru, if the Lord taps me on the shoulder, I start talking about Jesus. I will never feel what I felt with that man. I'm talking nights spent up just weeping, thinking about him down there. All I had to do was tell him about Jesus. Not guaranteed he would have received him, but that's what the Lord told me to do. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I just don't want to invite people to this church. What if Pastor Mike talks about tongues that day? Well, then that's when they needed to be here. It's the truth. We receive so much from this ministry and we're so quiet about it. Why are you here? If it's blessed, you tell people, my goodness. Don't you tell people about a good restaurant you eat at? Oh, we do. Oh, you got to go check out that restaurant. Why? That's comfortable to our flesh. It's the truth. Amen. Wow. He said, you'll gain your life. So there's that. There's a blessing. But go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Are you ready for it to get a little hotter here? I mean, just turn it up even hotter right now. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. See, oh, I'm going to have to say it. It is so foolish and backwards and anti what Jesus wants from you to say anytime about anything with him, "I don't want to do that." He doesn't give a rip about what you want and don't want. You say, "What do you mean?" What? That's what it says. What? They probably should throw an exclamation mark after that too. This is so stupid. Is it exclamation mark or exclamation point? Mark? Point? Point. We got marks, we got points. Which one is it? It's point, it's point, it's point. Exclamation point. Because that's a question mark. Okay, I got it. So there should be an exclamation point after that too. What? Don't you know? Many Christians don't know this. I want to ask you something right now. If you said, "Pastor Mike, I see you have a truck. Can I borrow your truck? I got to move some things." I'm going to guarantee that you might not drive my truck like you drive your vehicle. That you might not leave things behind in my truck that you would leave in your vehicle. That you would take extra care, right? If you come over to somebody's house, I tell you this. I don't treat other people's houses like mine. I mean, I'm not a slob or anything, but I take liberties in my home that I wouldn't in another person's home. Why? It's not mine. What? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Now, here we go. This is going to be real popular. And you, everybody say me, and you are not your own. The next verse says you've been bought with a price. What price? The precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, because you've been bought with that price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. Pull that up in verse 20 in case people think I'm making that up. for you are bought with a price. I'm sorry, you were on the auction block. Someone bought you. Just like when you go to the store and buy something, you say, that's mine. God bought you. You know what he's saying? That's mine. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Now you might think to yourself, get me out from underneath this cloud. You can go ahead and get out from underneath that cloud and not be his anymore. Just denounce Christ. Tell him you don't believe him anymore. Blaspheme him. Curse him. Say, I don't want my salvation. You can get out from underneath that cloud of being his. But being his comes with some pretty good perks. But the fact is, he says, you're not your own. But how do we live our lives all the time? This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I think I should do with my life. Never even consider the one that owns us. We just go off and do our own thing. Man, oh man. Heart stuff. Go to James 4 and verse 13. Just two more scriptures and we'll be done. James 4 verse 13. Hallelujah. Now we'll see next week if the Lord has us go further to see how we can settle some things, get some things straight in our lives. But if anything, man, we better check up on things. I mean, honestly, the way we've constructed our lives and built our lives, we have to get past this, well, we're a good people thing. A lot of good people are disobedient to him. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you a disobedient one. Amen? And we got to get past this, well, I'm moral and I'm good and I'm kind. That's not what he's saying the qualifications are. He's saying, obey me. What are you building your life on? And many of us, we just go and do things. Yeah, let's do this with our lives. Let's do this with our money. Let's do this with our time. I remember I was talking to a lady from South Dayton on the phone a little while ago. She had constructed her life as such, never in church. Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible says have a pastor go to church. I don't know what you want me to tell you. But she constructed her life as such. And I said to her, I said, Miss, I just want to check in with you. Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy. Well, we thought what Jesus thought about busy, with Mary and Martha receiving the word. If busyness takes you out of receiving the word, your problem, not his. Jesus would say, oh, Martha, we'll fit it in around you. No, he rebuked her. And this lady said, I'm too busy to be in church. I said, well, so here's the only thing. It contradicts the Bible, but I said, why don't you ask him about how you've constructed your life? Yeah. Just because it's something you want to do and something you like to do doesn't mean that he's approving of it. Right. Amen. Amen. Hard stuff. Good. James 4 and verse 13. So first of all, remember I sent you out a text today. I said, what is your life? The Bible tells you what your life is. First thing the Bible tells your life is, it's not yours. It's not yours. Do you know that within a church, you don't have the right to say yes or no to anything until he says you can say yes or no? Yeah. I'm just telling you how it is. In fact, you don't even have the right to choose what church you go to. You say, what? The Bible says he sets the members in the body as he pleases, as it pleases him. You either want to be his or you don't. It's the truth. Lord, what do you think about what I'm doing? I'm not me. I'm not my own. What do you think? What do you think, Lord? I'll tell you, this is not fun to preach. I'll just tell you. It might look like I'm having fun. It's not fun to preach this. But it's the truth. We want to be the real deal or we want to just be pretenders. Yeah, we like all the Mark 11, 23, bring it on. You say... It's like I was saying, I don't think I finished my story about the offering. We're taking up an offering tomorrow. And I said to people, this is what the Holy Ghost told me. Bring it before the people. It's an opportunity to increase for our chair and floor. I said, just bring it before God. Just bring it before God. Stop clicking that, please. I said, just bring it before God. So I said, I wonder how many people actually did that or just decided, I'm going to let my checkbook tell me what to give tomorrow. I'm going to let my flesh tell me what to give tomorrow. But wait a second, there's a Savior who says, you're not your own. That means your money's not yours either. You're steward of it. Do we even go to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? No, a lot of people don't. Afraid of what he might say. James 4:13. So the first thing is you're not your own. Go now tomorrow. Go to now what you say today or tomorrow. We'll go into such and such a city, continue there, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Oh, here we go. What is your life? The Bible's going to tell you. It is a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will. What's that saying? I'm not trying to run my own life here, Lord. I want to do what you say I can do. If you're okay with me doing this with my time, you're okay with me doing this with my money, you're okay with me doing this with my kids, fine. But I'm not going to just leave you out because I'm not my own. And the Bible says in verse 14, your life's a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. You go outside tomorrow morning and go, and you'll see it. It'll be there. It'll be so real. And then it'll be gone just like that. That's your life. That's your life. You get one shot at this. One shot to make your mark. And what are people doing? Storing up for themselves. Pursuit of life. And this is a big pointless pursuit down here. Why? This is going to end in no time. There are going to be people that get to heaven that never told anybody about Jesus. Didn't obey him. Just took the blessings of this word of faith and acquired their, they got to get their stuff and get to go places and get money and get good jobs and good houses and good vehicles. And there was a whole time they were the body of Christ and God was expecting them to do things and they never consecrated their lives to him. And it's going to happen like that. Remember Pastor Mike's story about the lady in the nursing home, 90 years old? I used to have a nursing home ministry in Frewsburg. Once a month on a Sunday, go down there, sing songs for the residents, preach to them. And afterwards, I'm talking to a lady, she's in her 90s, and she's got her wits about her. She's, I mean, just sharp as can be. And she's talking to this back when I was about 30 years old. And she's talking about when she was 30, and she went back to when she was 20, and she went back to when she was a young girl. And so I'm 30, she's 90-something. I said to her, I said, you know, it seems like to me, to get to 30 to 90, it's going to take forever. Like, it just feels like that'll never come. I said, does it seem like it took forever to get from the time you were talking about when you were a little girl to where you are right now? And she said, honey, it seems like it was yesterday. I don't know about you, but I can't believe how long it's been since I graduated from high school. Where did the time go? How in the world is Caleb 9? It doesn't seem like it took 9 years. A whole 365 days times 9 to get there. It seems like it was yesterday. Your life's a vapor. We get one shot to do this for him. This is the training ground for there. Think, see, you didn't, maybe didn't know that. What you do down here determines what you do up there. I should teach more on that. It's the truth, though. Absolutely. Ouch. Get me out of here. I'm going to leave out that way today. If you see me going out the back door, just let me go. I'll leave my coat here. Just bring my stuff tomorrow, Jake. I'm out of here. When this is over, I'm heading for the hills. One shot at it. Before you know it, you're going to be in front of him. And then the real, see, what do? We pursue down here for the 70, the 80, the 90 years we get. We run our race, go after as hard as we can, right? And we just pursue. But what's going to happen, I think, I don't remember how many years I said on Wednesday night, when you're on your 999th billionth year in heaven, because you will be, and someone looks at a timeline and sees from the time you were born to 999 billionth year, and they say, okay, let's look at the space between the time they were born until the time they died a natural death. You're going to need a magnifying glass to look at that, and we think this is where it's at. Got to get it all now. Pursue it. No, your job now is to pursue him, to give it up for him, to go after him. And he says if you'll do it, you'll be blessed on this earth. I'm not even trying to take from you. I'm going to give you more in this lifetime. Remember we told the disciples, Peter said, Lord, we left everything for you. He said, nobody that's left kingdom for me. Who's left mothers, houses, lands, all these things. He says, not only will they receive houses and lands in this time. That's what he said to him. He said, if you give up everything for me here, you ain't going to lose nothing here. I'm going to bless you, praise God. Think what he says about the tithe. People freak out about 10%. Oh my gosh! But he's sitting there telling you, why are you freaking out? I told you, I give you more than you can handle. More than you can take, right? So he says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive it. You'd be like, I can't part with this 10%. And God said, I'm trying to wallop you with a blessing here. Yeah. Praise God. Real deal people. Lay it down for Jesus. Praise God. Last but not least, 1 John 2:28. Hallelujah. Going after him. Ah, this is religious. This is putting a yoke around our necks. Then Jesus put it there because he said these things. I didn't. I just repeated what the master said. Me saying it or not saying it doesn't change the fact that he said it. He didn't say if just the people back then. He said, if any man will come after me, that's everybody here. Glory to God. 1 John 2:28, we'll close with this. And now, little children. Remember, we looked at this in the beginning. 1 John 15:7 said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will, it'll be done for you. He says, now, little children, abide in him. How do we abide in him? Easy. Obey his word. That's how we abide in him. Look what he says. When he shall appear, not if, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at him, at his coming. You do know, see, we don't think in terms of heavenly terms. You do know that that day that we appear before him is likened to the natural event of a bride marrying her husband. But what does a bride do? All weddings I've done, I've never seen a bride show up without her hair done. I've never seen her come with ketchup on her dress, Oreo cookie stains on the side of her mouth, disheveled, look like she just got out of bed. No, I've never seen it. I've always seen great preparation done. For what? The one moment that she comes through the doors or down the aisle to stand before her man to impress him and wow him. It could be a day a woman spends the most on getting her makeup done, the most on getting her hair done, the most on her dress, for that one moment. How? Think about a woman that right before she was going to come down the aisle, all of a sudden her dress ripped. Or she spilled something on it in the back room, a big stain on her dress. The feeling she's going to have. Right? The Bible tells us that there are going to be people that will be ashamed when they see him. And how are they going to be ashamed? They didn't abide in him. How do you abide in him? Do his will. What's his will for my life? Some people are going to all of a sudden realize, oh my gosh, it's over. I didn't do anything he told me to do. I didn't even check in to see what he even wanted me to do. I filled my life up with stuff, and I worked my life around what I already did. I never even thought to. And you're ashamed in the one moment, your shining moment, and be ashamed. How horrible is that going to be? It'd be terrible. It would be awful. Please excuse this example, but it will bring it out. Oh, this is... Hold your horses here. You don't know yet. I was in a McDonald's parking lot in Lakewood. This is a true story. And there's a little hill you can go up by, and it's like in between Wegmans and the McDonald's, and you can park. It's McDonald's parking. And I had gotten food one lunch day, and I was sitting there. I'll get ready to be grossed out. I was sitting there, and I glanced over at the adult in the vehicle next to me. And their finger was so far up their nose, true story, I couldn't take my eyes off. I'm just telling you the truth. I couldn't take my eyes off them. And you know what? There's no shame. I mean, world champion digger. Just going for it. The gold medal. I'm serious. Not a care in the world. And then all of a sudden, they noticed me looking at them. I've never seen a finger move. And you know what you could tell? Completely ashamed. I mean, they were ashamed. Someone saw them doing that. But my point is this. When they thought everything was good and they were safe, they just carry on with life, carry on with life. Well, just life's normal. Just keep living. I mean, this is real. I don't feel this really, Pastor Mike. And then you're going to be before him someday. And you're going to be like, why didn't I change? And you're going to be ashamed at him for his coming. And that's horrible. I don't want that for anybody. So what are we saying in closing? Evaluate yourselves. Your decisions. What you're doing with your kids. What you're doing with your money. What you're doing with your time. Lord, are you okay with this? Are you okay with this, Father? Amen. Some people will take this to heart and they'll grow from this. And changes will be made. And the Lord will bless them even more. And some people will say, too hard for me, Pastor Mike. Let's not be them people. Amen. We'll see what the Lord says next week. Maybe we'll go something different, but whatever he wants. Let's pray. Father, and thank you for being patient, by the way. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, we're not trying to put no yoke on anybody. We're not trying to make anybody feel condemned at all. But Jesus, this is in the Bible. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, it's in the Bible. We're not our own. We don't have the right to just make any decision we want. We don't have that right anymore. We gave that away when we were bought by you. And thank God you bought us. And Lord, we don't have the right to just choose and do whatever we want and fill our life up. That's gone. And I pray that people would realize that. But that they would also realize, Father, that this is not something to make them go backwards. This will catapult them forward into increase in their families, their children, their finances, in spiritual favor in the sense of the revelation and things they receive from you, Father. It will only lead to increase. You never try to hurt us. When you're telling us to take up our cross, that's not to hurt us. That's so we can save our life, not lose it. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here that they would receive the heart of this message. Lord, I'm preaching to myself up here. Father, if I'm being completely transparent, you've been dealing with me about things. Things to lay down, things to make adjustments, talking to me. And I'll be honest, there's times, Lord, I've dragged my feet on these things. And there's times that I've been unfaithful in these things and that I've just downright failed and not done what you said to do. Father, I don't want to be that way anymore. You gave too much for me, and you love me so much, and all you want is good things for me. And Lord, there's a kingdom to advance. There's people to get saved. There's things to be done in the church. There's things to be done in this world. Lord, not our will, not our will, not our will, but your will be done. Your will be done. I pray that everybody would die to themselves and have a Garden of Gethsemane moment and say, Lord, not my will, but your will, Lord. Evaluate our lives. If we got to make major changes and turn things upside down on their head, if we got to figure things out in our schedule, so what? To obey him, it's worth it. Just find out what he's saying. Just find out what he's saying. We worship you, Father. And I know, Lord, everybody in here is born again. But if by chance somebody's listening on live stream right now and they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life or listening in the future on the archive, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord. And Father, I think you've made it simple. For those people who say, yeah, I want to receive Jesus. I don't know how. I've never done that. If you believe in him, you are a qualified candidate for salvation. And all you have to do is Romans 10:13, call on his name. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And I ask you to come into my heart. Yes. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for making it simple. Lord, you love us. Let's stand up and worship him together. We need to end on worship. Just praise him.
Praise you, Lord.
Lord, we love you.
We love you, Lord.
May we not build in vain. Even though it seems successful and it seems like a good idea, if it's not you, it's vanity. It's worthless. It's nothingness. That is not the kind of life we want to have when we stand before you, that we lived a life of nothingness. We had one shot to advance and to fulfill your plan and your calling on this earth. Help us to be faithful, Father. Point things out to us, Father, that need changing. And Lord, I thank you. You're not mad. You're not angry. You're not hurtful. You're not sarcastic with us. You're sweet and loving, but Lord, you do expect us to obey you. And I pray that for each and every person here, Father. We bless you tonight. We honor and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next Saturday. You're dismissed.